All right. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Weekly Wind Down. Jackie D is not here with us today, but we are going to try to do this on our own without Mom around. We're going to figure it out. Well, the cat's away. Let's see. So we're going to jump into it. Before we talk about what we're drinking, I want to give everybody a spoiler alert. This whole episode is going to be about Orange is the New Black. Little bit of season 6 and a bunch about season 7. So if you have not watched it yet, if you are not caught up, turn this off right now. Don't do it. Don't listen. Skip ahead. Okay.
Binge it really quick and then listen to
it. And then come back and listen to this because you're going to want to talk about it after you watch it because we're all dying, chomping at the bit to talk about it.
Yep.
So I am Stacy, the New Age Old School Mom.
I'm Stacy, the Political Princess.
I'm Jean, the Feisty Feminist.
And I'm Erin, the geeky gal pal.
And Stacy had this awesome idea to pick wines kind of based on characters of the show, which I think is fantastic. So I am drinking tonight a wine called the Velvet Devil Merlot. Can you guys guess who it's for?
Velvet Devil.
If it's Merlot, I want to say red.
Red, yeah, but I don't think that's what it is.
It's fig.
Oh!
She was the Caputo called her the devil last season.
That's true.
Season 6. Mm-hmm. But she got awfully squishy in season 7.
They both did.
I didn't recognize the biatch.
Yep. So, first sip, it's a little bitter, like fig.
That fits.
It's getting smooth, so it totally, totally fits.
That's so funny. Okay, so I probably already told you guys mine. So I am drinking the Charles Shaw Rosé. It's organic rosé. For those of you that are not familiar, Charles Shaw is $2 chuck at Trader Joe's. This rosé is organic, so it was $4 chuck because it's a little more expensive. And I already told you guys that this is my so-so drink. Because I think I really like So-So. She was one of my favorite characters. And even though we only saw her for a tiny little minute in that last episode, I just think if anyone was going to drink, like, organic $2 chuck rosé from Trader Joe's, it is So-So.
Definitely. Aww. Totally fit.
And it's, you know, it tastes like $4 chuck. I don't notice any, like, big drastic difference between it being organic or not, but...
Maybe you won't be hungover or have a headache the more you drink.
I don't know. The very first sip just tasted like heartburn.
Does it have the mud in it? Like on one.
I didn't see anything, but it's a rosé. So maybe not. I mean,
you need the reds filter. For the mud.
Right. Right. I mean, it's just like, you know, whatever. The one thing that was super weird, it had a twist off cork.
Oh, weird.
I've never seen that.
That's the new thing, though, with wine bottles these days.
I have never seen it before. It wasn't just a twist-off. It was a twist-off cork.
Super weird. I have never seen it.
So it was like a regular size cork on the top. It kind of looked like a mushroom. So it was like a regular size cork on the top, and then it went down to a skinnier part that stuck in the bottle, and you literally just twist it out and put it back in.
It sounds like Prosecco.
So weird. It's a little phallic. It's got a mushroom cap and a... Yeah.
All right. So I'm really excited about this. First of all, I'm switching over to white. Usually I am red and I'm red blend. But in honor of our Orange is the New Black episode, I am drinking a white. It's a Cayuga white from Sunset Meadow Vineyards in Connecticut. And I will tell you why I have selected this. First of all, you know, Piper is as white as you could get.
That's so accurate for the character and my dog.
From her blonde hair to her upper middle class upbringing in Connecticut. I am from Connecticut. This winery, Sunset Meadow Vineyards, is in Connecticut. And here's the best part. This winery is in the Litchfield Hills.
Stop.
That's awesome.
I know, right?
That is
awesome.
Orange
is the New Black. Litchfield Prison is in New York. It's a fictitious prison. However, Litchfield, Connecticut is a real place. And this wine comes from Litchfield, Connecticut. And as I said, it is Cayuga White. Connecticut, unfortunately, does not have the climate to be able to grow all kinds of grapes. So even though we have great vineyards here, we have to ship in a lot of our grapes from the Finger Lakes in upper state New York. And that's where the Cayuga comes from. So I have to say, I have started drinking this wine way before we started recording. From sip one all the way to the getting to the bottom of the bottle, this is a sippin' good wine.
Nice.
Loving this white girl wine.
Yeah. Your waspy wine from Litchfield.
Oh, waspy to the tilt, baby.
I love it. So I'm of course not drinking wine because I suck, but whatever. So I am drinking a Goose Island beer. It is called SPF, and it is actually, they brewed it specifically for the summer, but it is a just like a nice blonde ale with natural passion fruit flavor. And when you pour it into a glass, it actually looks a little red. So I was thinking, this reminded me a lot of Nikki, because mm-hmm. She's full of passion, and the actual tagline is refreshing, juicy, and effervescent, which is all
mm-hmm.
how I would describe Nikki. So I scoured my brain to think, what the hell would Nikki drink? And I just, aside from vodka soda, which I could do and I love, all I knew she loved is heroin, so I didn't feel like
good call.
I didn't feel like starting my path to, you know, fucked upville.
And that's a little bit of an homage to Poussey and her fermented fruit wine mm-hmm. that she made. So you know, you're covering that.
You know, I love
lesbians.
I'm a lesbian.
It's a cross reference.
I like it.
Covering all the bases. I love Nichols. She's one of my favorite characters.
Same.
So I thought I would start us off with like a quick, like 60-second recap, so that we know where we're jumping off into season 7. So feel free to jump in and correct me or throw stuff in. So at the end of season 5, it's the end of the riot, and we know that Piscatella has been holding Red and her friends hostage in a closet and torturing them.
Yep.
So they bring him to the basement, the pool, and there Tasty is seen holding a gun to his head, but she does not shoot him. He's shot by a guard on accident. So mm-hmm. we start off season 6. There, half of our crew is in Litchfield Max. Half of the crew is sent elsewhere, and they don't know where each other is. Piper and Alex are two that have been split up, and so are Flocka and Maritza, which was super sad.
Mm-hmm.
That yes. BFF, that friendship.
Yep.
Yeah, that one got me. Alex and Piper end up back together, but they are being tortured by this girl that everybody loves to hate, Battison. Yeah. Awful character.
I hate her.
She sucks. Everybody hates her. Whatever. So there's a lot of characters that come in that don't really matter in season 7, and so I'm not even going to touch on any of them. Just our basic girls. So Daya's mom, what's her name? Alita?
Mm-hmm.
She's in prison. And she's trying to make some money to get her kids back.
She's the worst.
Shakes. She is the worst.
She's a horrible human being, but she's nice to look at.
Yeah,
I'd fuck her.
I would dirty fuck her.
Oh my god!
Wow, Jean.
Wow.
Jean's way ahead of us.
So she's selling diet shakes, and drugs through her new guard boyfriend. So she. Is sneaking drugs in. Daya gets mixed up with drugs because she starts dating Daddy, who is also a new character, who is not around for long, but she gets mixed up with that, and Daddy gets her actually hooked on the drugs, too. So then we have Flocka, who misses her BFF, but starts a radio show, which is really cool. Good for her. Like, she's keeping her head up. Lorena Morello, is pregnant through the whole season, and at the end of the season gives birth to a baby boy. So she's just kind of, she's got morning sickness, she's hanging out, nothing major. Caputo and Fig, their relationship gets more serious. Who else am I missing? Blanca. Blanca's a big one. Blanca wants to get pregnant. So she and Nichols have fun trying to get her pregnant, sneaking sperm in from Diablo, and it doesn't, unfortunately, it doesn't work out. So the biggest part, I think that's everybody.
Black Cindy.
Suzanne, Crazy Eyes. Yeah, I'll get them at the end. Crazy Eyes is off her meds in the beginning and then spends a lot of time stressed out about Tasty and Black Cindy. So the big center thing that happens in this season is that everybody blames Tasty for shooting the guard and nobody believes she's innocent. And Black Cindy comes in and she just throws her under the bus. She says that she saw her. I think it comes out as an accident at first, but she says she saw her holding the gun to his head. And that's all it takes. So we start off season 7 with all that information. Oh, and of course, Piper and Blanca get out.
Yeah.
Of prison.
Yeah.
Blanca gets Piper and stays with her brother. So we start off season 7 with Piper out of prison. Tasty, I believe the trial is still going on at the beginning of season 7. Or did we find out Tasty's sentence yet?
Tasty was already sentenced, I think.
Okay, so we find out that Tasty is sentenced to life in prison. Crazy Eyes is still trying to get Black Cindy. What's going on? She admits to Tasty what happened, so they're kind of at odds, not really friends. Mm-hmm. Is that good, everybody?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty. What about Fig and Caputo?
Caputo's not working at the prison. He is having a hard time with that. He's trying to kind of hold on to what he has. He's also trying to help Tasty out. He's getting more serious with Fig, but Fig got a job, kind of took his job, I believe. And so he's pretty butthurt about that. But nevertheless, they are staying serious and faithful. So, I mean, they're getting
who'd have thunk?
Intimate. Yeah, who'd have thought?
And we find out about Linda, too, the lady that got like mixed up in the prison riot and like was in prison even though she shouldn't have been there, and that was Caputo's girlfriend at the time. And then that part too, I just bring her up because I love her.
She's the like the CEO for Polycom.
So because of what happened with her getting mixed up, they feel bad, and so to pay her off, she kind of demands top dog status, and so she becomes like the CEO of the new label of the company, and she's all about money. I mean, all just about money. Okay, so that's season 6. So I thought we would go around and talk about just bring up what's going on with your favorite character in season 7, something that really bothered you, something that you thought was really cool, just anything you want to talk about, and we'll go around the circle and discuss.
Okay. All right, I'll go first. I really think the whole relationship with, everything's so interconnected, but the whole relationship between Fig and Caputo, like, was so surprising to me all season, because Caputo deals with a lot of shit this season, where he's trying to adjust to not being in charge, not working there anymore. He's teaching classes. He is with Fig. They decide they're going to try to have a baby. So they're going through all of the like fertility treatment and stuff. And he gets Me Too'd, kind of reverse Me Too'd. Yeah. He did a bit of a Me Too to what was her name?
That one guard. You could just call her that one.
Yeah, that one guard from like the very beginning.
The mousy guard.
Yeah.
Good job.
She basically like first kind of anonymously accuses him, but then it's pretty clear that it's him. And it's just one of those situations where it's like you can see him go like at first like I didn't do anything to her, and then go back and like when he reads her posts online about like what he did, like his understanding of how his actions affected other people, I just think is really like profound. And everything he does to help Tasty and her, you know, her journey and her arc this season, I just think is so big. Like he becomes such an important part of her story and such an important part of really the prison kind of making the shift into like preparing women for the outside world, and the whole story with him and Fig and their like journey through infertility and her infertility treatments and their decision to adopt, and them going to the adoption agency and going in and saying how they want a boy, but he's going to teach the boy not to, you know, he's going to teach him to respect women or to respect men, whatever, or to respect people that are fluid and who don't conform to a gender. And I just think it's so sweet. And then they run into that little girl who's singing like the most ghetto song. It's so inappropriate about weed and rolling joints. And it's just so funny. But I think as far as like character arcs go and people starting, you know, in one place and completely changing and becoming a different person. And for him, I think mostly changing in a very positive way. I just think his story was huge, and mentoring Tamika as she becomes warden, just all of that, I think, is like there's just so much to it. Who would have thought from the first episode that Caputo was gonna be like hella deep?
Right. You know, in the first episode, he's jerking off his like potted plant. No. But he's jerking off to like all this stuff, and he's so inappropriate that it's like, you want to not like him. And then he does kind of like sexually harass the one girl. He just lets a crush get out of control. But I mean, he is kind of a douche. So for him to, like you said, character arc all the way to somebody respectable and a father figure, really, for Tasty is incredible.
Yeah, for sure. As and a feminist, I still think he's gross.
Well, I don't know why I find him attractive, but I do.
Same. Same. not like physically attractive.
I think because of his character arc, like it's understandable why Fig likes him so much. Like,
agreed.
I just think like he has a lot of good qualities that I don't think are super noticeable until the later seasons. You know, I mean, in the beginning, he's such a piece of shit, and then he becomes just this really respectable person, and you're super excited that he's the one that wants to be helping change, you know, in these prisons, and you know, getting things out there for these female prisoners that they wouldn't have otherwise. Like, I think it's really awesome. Great pick, Stacey.
Yeah.
Thanks.
How about you, Jean?
Well, all right. I got a couple of things here. I feel like after 7 seasons, I feel like I was left hanging out to dry on a few character plots. I don't know. Like Lorna, batshit crazy Lorna. You know, she has the baby, she loses the baby, and, you know, she just refuses to accept that the baby is dead. She's, you know, displayed obvious signs of being delusional right from the start when she was stalking that guy in the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like what happened was they just wrapped everything up really quickly and did not give a lot of the main characters their due as far as what will become of them. It almost seems to me like it's a setup for another series, or just something that there were too many things left unaddressed. Lorna is one. Daya, I mean, for Daya to do, she did a complete 180. She did a freaking complete 180, and then they just kind of left her hanging there. They left Lorna kind of hanging there.
That's funny. I totally disagree. I felt like it was such a great wrap up of all, like, I knew going into it I was going to feel really shitty. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. But about it ending, because it's a great show. But I felt like it ended so well with everybody getting a basic ending, you know, like Red with her Alzheimer's, you know. Lorna,
so
I think it's kind of left open to your own interpretation. We know Lorna, she's gone off the deep end. Her losing her baby definitely knocked her off the edge, you know? So it's like, you kind of go, oh, okay. You know, with Red, she's, you know, off the deep end too. with her illness, it's not, you know, going to get any better. And so Nicole's taking over that role. You know what I mean? I feel like it was each person, they kind of wrapped up really well. So it's interesting that usually you and I agree on a lot of stuff. So that's funny.
Well, look at Suzanne. Suzanne has been an integral character from day one. Mm-hmm. She's always been there. She's always been part and parcel of who these characters are. They give her kind of this realization that, well, you are mentally ill, so you really don't deserve to be here. And she mm-hmm. kind of has this revelation, and yet nothing is done with it. Nothing is wrapped up for her except her losing, you know, the people that she was closest to. I know that Red has, you know, they gave Red dementia, so that takes care of itself.
I just feel like with both of those things, though, those are so accurate. Like the fact that Suzanne is questioning whether or not she deserves to be there and that she kind of doesn't, it happens to so many people in real life. And like what they were saying about women, especially when they get put in solitary, because that's sort of what jumpstarts Red's descent into her. Yeah.
And it's what they were saying happened to, you know who I'm talking about, the hairdresser.
Sophia,
like that whole thing with her, like mm-hmm. it was all about like she kind of went a little nutty down there.
Right. Yeah. But I was reading about it and how that's like a, sorry, not to interrupt you, Jean, but I thought it was fascinating that that's like a real thing that happens with older women, especially when they get put in solitary, is that there's no mental stimulation. So if you're kind of already sort of on that track of maybe you might have some sort of dementia issues and stuff, it just jump starts it.
You know what? I think that I'm, as a novel writer, I think I'm jealous of screenplay and television writers because they get so much leeway in just kind of truncating a character's arc. I'm just going to cut this character off right here just because it's convenient. Yet if you as a novel writer don't run the whole gamut of what that character is at the beginning, middle, end. We're going to wrap it up nice and tidy, nice and sweet, give a full, clear, legible conclusion. You know, the mm-hmm. readers can't deal with it.
Yeah, you're going to hear about it on Goodreads.
Yeah, you hear about it in the Goodreads and other places like that. So I don't know, maybe as a writer of novels, I'm maybe blurring what expectations there are in literature versus television. And I guess you can't have the same expectations for both. But I feel like, mark my words, there's going to be something else coming down the pike with this Orange is the New Black, because it just, there are too many things that just feel like they are unresolved. I mean, mm-hmm. come on. Piper, at the very end, they had this ginormous, climactic, heart-wrenching, awful moment where they break up, and then 2 minutes later, you're looking at her fucking driving somewhere. Ooh, is she driving to Northampton to be with the Reddit? Or is she driving? She fucking ends up in Ohio, and then all she's doing is smiling at Alex.
I was so disappointed in that. I'm not gonna lie.
All right.
I have one thing to say about what you're talking about, Jean. And I think part of what we as like writers may be feeling is not necessarily that we're jealous that they got to just kind of truncate these storylines. It's that I don't think I personally didn't like some of how it ended. I mean, I'm glad that we got to see certain characters and see their arc come to, you know, to a close. Right. But Alex and Piper, fuck that. I was so disappointed mm-hmm. in that. I don't know if it's because I saw, like, I actually really enjoyed Larry, like, telling Piper, like, you literally do the same fucking thing over and over again and you expect a different result. And she did it again. She literally went chasing after Alex again. There's this part of me that, you know, maybe they aren't together. She just decided to start somewhere new, and you know, now they're in Ohio and she's starting new in Ohio. Who the fuck starts in Ohio? I don't know. But either way,
but how do we have any idea? There was no indication whatsoever that she is going to do that, other than the fact that she's driving, and then the next thing you know, you see her visiting Alex in what appears to be a different prison.
Well, and I think part of it, too, was like, you know, Zelda obviously represented this very safe, comfortable life.
Right.
And that was what kind of pushed her to be with Alex to begin with, was this boring, safe, comfortable life, and she wanted this like idea of what's around the other corner, you know, like we have no idea, it's just an intrigue and all that, you know, bullshit. But I think my favorite storyline aside from Alex and Piper was Black Cindy. Like, I have liked Black Cindy since day one. I love her. When she came in with her, you know, her Afro puffs, and she's like just rocking it. Like, she has been my very favorite. So I loved seeing her in this season, and I loved seeing that she, well, last season, the struggle she went through, and just her trying to come to terms with, like, throwing Tasty under the bus, and then, like, trying to find her way in this new area where she has no best friend any longer. Like, all of that was so important to me, because I feel like it's so easy for, like, us to forget how fragile friendship could be, because like we're all great friends and like we're all gonna be friends probably for forever, but like this is, it's such an important relationship to her, and she, while she did think twice about it, it still ended badly. And
but when you think about it, Cindy actually had the most resolution.
Yes, agreed. And that's why I loved her storyline. Like, I absolutely loved that she at the end of it came back to her mom and her daughter, and it was like, I'm gonna be here every day or every Sunday at 11, and that, like, I love that, because she needed that. She needed to feel needed, and she needed to feel like she was a contributing member to society. And I really enjoyed it. I think she is my favorite story arc of everyone. I loved
it. Do you think that her ending up on the streets is kind of the writer's way of punishing her for backstabbing Tasty, or do you think it kind of showing her punishing herself by not, she kind of gives up really fast, right?
Yeah.
She kind of is just like, oh, she had that great job that she loved, and she just really accepted, this is my life now on the street, here's my tent and my lamp, and just, do you think she's punishing herself a little bit?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think it is the writers kind of giving her a comeuppance, you know, as far as, like, you know, what she did to Tasty. But I think at the same time, like, you're absolutely right. Like, it was her, like, way of punishing herself. Like, she did not – she could have stopped and went back up the stairs and gone back into her mom's apartment and been like, you're right, Mom, you're right. But I think that she has no self-esteem in the sense that, like, she – thinks she does not deserve to be okay, especially after everything that she went through with Tasty. So
I actually think, Stacy, that she Cindy punishes herself by choosing to walk out, but I think that the writers punished her by making Tasty send that letter.
That's where the writers
got their kind of, you know, made Cindy have to pay for her sins by doing that, because that kind of set everything else spiraling out of control once she was out of prison.
It was interesting too that they made sure to show that part where Tasty is at home and has to be put out on the streets too. Do you remember that little clip? And she answers the phone and it's to say.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that they threw that in there and then made Black Cindy end up on the streets, that little connection between them.
I was really glad to see Poussey is okay after Gilead.
Yeah, just kidding. She gets out of prison and ends up being a prostitute in Gilead. This chick can't get
great. Like, what the fuck?
So a couple of my favorite characters, especially in the earlier seasons, were Red, Nichols, and Morello. So I loved the storyline with Morello. She has her baby. She everything's great. Her husband's coming to visit her, and the baby gets sick. She's posting the baby's pictures to Instagram, and he tells her that the baby passed away, and she doesn't accept it, and she continues posting pictures from Google. which was incredibly sad.
But so
then they go into, I mean, they showed her backstory of how she got into prison with stalking Christopher, right? And then setting the bomb up on Christopher's fiance's car and that whole thing. So that's why she ends up in prison. But then they throw in this backstory of her being out drinking with her friends and throwing a rock at a car and killing this cute couple that she was obviously very smitten with their backstory that they had just gotten engaged and stuff. And she ends up killing them and going off the deep end then too. So I thought that was super cool of the writer to throw in a second backstory. It's one of the only second backstories we really saw that was huge. Yeah. And I think that really contributed to, first she's got the stuff with Christopher, then she's got the stuff with this couple, and then she's got her baby passing away. And that's where, I mean, she just off the deep end, completely lost to everybody. And Red losing her memory and taking Morello in, I thought was a really cool kind of thing to write in. I didn't like the thumb sucking scene.
No.
Weirded me out.
So not weird.
Yeah. Wait, who they could have just. Thumb?
Morello.
Morello was petting her hair and like it was so awkward. Yeah. So that scene could have been
during that scene.
Thrown out.
I don't blame you.
We could have just gotten the vibe just from, you know, right. Red taking care of her or something. Yeah. But then Nichols coming in and taking over for Red because Red was such a huge part of Nichols' life, I just thought was perfect. The three of them all tied together in a neat little bow was just, I thought that was amazing.
Yeah.
And then the other one, I was so tired of Alex and Piper.
Yes.
Like, I totally agree.
They're the worst for each other.
Yeah. No, when Larry was talking to her, I was kind of digging this relationship with somebody else because I was like, finally something different for Piper, and this girl is up her alley with the fancy things and the view that she wanted. I was like, cool, she's going to end up with this different girl. Alex is finally out of the picture. Alex is having an affair with the guard anyway. Whatever. Yeah. Let it go.
Hello.
Let it go.
Yep.
Mess up McCullough. So I'm like, okay, that's fine. And then Larry sits her down and is like, are you going to choose A or B? Because you're so predictable and you do the same thing every time. And this is just you, Piper. So when she's like, what the hell? And then she goes and chases after Alex. I was like, of course she did. I was so tired of their fucking story. Like,
right? I was Piper too. I really enjoyed Zelda. Like, I thought Zelda brought like a different flair to things that we're so used to seeing dark, dismal fucking prison. And here Zelda sweeps in and she's, you know, nonprofit and like super important, but like down to earth and wasn't eager to get into a relationship, but they still bonded. And I mean, they had good sex, clearly. It just like, I thought they had chemistry. I really enjoyed it. And to be very honest, I thought that Alex and McCullough had a great chemistry too. Like I enjoyed that scene a lot. Yeah, same here. I watched it a couple times.
Yeah, McCullough needed that after her PTSD with the riots and stuff. I think that would have been a much cooler way. But you know what? It's kind of like the traditional, like, predictable movie where you know, like, the two people always end up together. And Piper was supposed to be the main character. Right. She started the whole fucking thing.
Right.
So, I mean, whatever.
I guess it's like a predictable romance novel, AG.
Wait, it would have been better if they switched them. You know how the creator of this series is actually named Piper and she actually did prison time for trafficking? Well, here's a little trivia for you. The real Piper married a man when she got out of prison and she's still married to him.
Weird.
Yeah, so interesting.
Maybe Piper, Orange is the New Black Piper, will be hooking up with a boy. I mean, she didn't go for girls right away. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Like when Alex was like, go, sow your wild oats. She was like, okay, and just slept with men?
Do you think there was some kind of safety?
She went for the wiener. Yeah, she went for the ween.
Is there some kind of safety in that for her? Do you think, like, it doesn't feel like cheating as much?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Just like a straight girl will sleep with a girl because it's not really sex or whatever.
Fucking straight girls. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking.
Yeah, no, she went for the wiener first because that was the safety zone, mm-hmm. right? And then she went for another chick, and that didn't work out.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. So
I just think I just think Piper is fucked up. I don't give a shit who fucking comes at me. I fucking hate Piper. I've never liked Piper. I haven't liked Piper
since brat.
Yep.
Day one, right? Like, spoiled brat.
Piper's a needy motherfucker.
She's just so fucking everything that is wrong with white women. Like, she is everything wrong with them. And it just, she did nothing. Her character arc didn't change. She was the same throughout the whole fucking series. I was so eager to see her change, and she didn't.
Nope.
Wah, wah.
And then at the end, when she's fucking driving and driving and driving, you know she stopped like 4 times for pumpkin spice lattes.
I mean, right?
Basic. Bitch.
She's so basic.
So basic.
What's another character or cool thing?
I just not cool, but like the ice stuff. It's just so sad. So sad to like get out and think you're going to be free and then wind up in a detention facility. And that's what happened to Blanca. And that was so heartbreaking. But everything that happened, like just seeing the injustices that happened, like in that facility, like, oh my gosh, what's her name? The one that we meet in there.
Carla.
And it's so sad because she had worked in a lawyer's office and so she knew her shit, and like her trying to like just the shit that doesn't make any sense. Like, you're gonna get a summons that says you have to appear in a hearing about the custody of your children, but you can't leave because you're in an ICE detention facility. Like, how the fuck are you supposed to get anything done? And then Maritza.
But wait, and
you know,
and then
that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's happening. But then she gets deported and then is coming back, breaks her ankle, and is left to die.
I cried so much.
What was that all about?
More than any other.
Well, and that's where I think there were a couple that, like, while I think generally everybody had an ending that was kind of, like, resolved, there were a couple that just weren't, like, and to me, Maritza was one of them. She just gets deported. The end. That's the last you see of her. And I kind of thought it was going to be the same thing with Carla. And then she gets left to die in the middle of the desert. And it's so sad. So that was one that I was like, you know, it's happening. No.
When he gave her water and just like left her there, I was like, I'm going to vomit. Like, this is.
I had a hard time going to sleep that night when I watched that part. And then Pensatucky.
Oh,
God.
Man. The fucking diploma at the end.
She
passed her test.
Just the heartbreak of watching her, like, the realization. I think, like, I don't know if her death was more heartbreaking to me or, like, watching her have the realization that she's not stupid. Like, that to me was so sad for someone who's always been told she's stupid and always thought she was stupid. To find out, like, no, you just, like, you're dyslexic. You just, you know, whatever. But when that, oh, man, when she doesn't get her extra time for her test, and then she relapses and ODs, and that, it's just so tense because the whole time you're thinking Tasty's going to kill herself.
Yeah.
And
don't see it coming.
No.
Don't see it coming.
But that Mountain Dew scene.
Oh, the Mountain Dew scene.
Dixon,
which, like, he was my favorite CO of all the
CEOs.
Oh, yeah. And
he's
Suzanne.
Such a big character. Yeah.
Her new,
Suzanne,
like, BFF. Like, oh, yeah.
And then
so
the
sad.
Part that, like, I think got me more than any of that, even though I cried during all of it, was when she fucking went apeshit on Loose Chuck. Like,
yeah.
He is such a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, of all the characters that never changed, aside from Piper, he never fucking did.
Nope.
Until the very goddamn end. And, like, I couldn't stand that motherfucker ever. I hated him so much. And it just made me so sad that, like, he just didn't care at all to the point where he didn't even submit the request for her extra time. Like,
he's a fucking idiot.
Okay, Loose Check doesn't get her time for her test. So she tells him off, and he's a douchebag. But do you think that him admitting and taking the blame for giving Gloria the phone in the end and not letting Gloria get extra time and him getting fired makes up for it or no?
I mean, yes. It redeems him to, like, a certain mm-hmm. percent. I think on, like, a scale of 1 to 10, he's at, like, a 4.
Right.
Maybe a 5.
But he doesn't redeem himself.
Not redemption path material at all, because he's still going to go home in his dirty fucking apartment where mm-hmm. he's getting egged and poop bagged. And he's going to just sit there and smoke weed and eat fucking Fritos and just be gross, which... Not that I wouldn't take some Fritos right now, because I would. but I'm just saying, like, it's just crazy.
We only have a couple minutes left, but I think we, like, we're tasty. Ugh. Like, oh, my God.
I love Tasty. She's Me so adorable. Too. She's the best.
I think she's one of the best characters.
Probably. I agree, too, because, like, hers is almost like a reverse arc. Like, she starts so high, and then she just gets to the absolute, like, lowest point a human being can get to, where she's, like, bound and determined to get these drugs from Daya. She's going to kill herself. She doesn't want to be in there anymore. She shouldn't be in there. Like, she was wrongly convicted of that murder, and it's just not fair. And to see her, like, that turning point, like, when she's tutoring Pennsylvania, and then when she gets her certificate in the mail that she passed, like, that sort of turning point, and her calling, Judy King.
Judy King!
Yeah.
So funny. So funny. And her class, like, oh my God, I was laughing so hard at how she was teaching that class on, like, with their micro loans when they get out of prison, and it's such a good idea, and, like, the Poussey Washington, I just was, like, I was in tears.
I loved that it was, like, yeah, I'm stuck in here. This is my life now. But you know what? I'm going to do everything to make it better for the women that are also stuck in here.
Yeah.
That just, it, like, it made it okay that she was stuck in
here. Yeah, it was, like, so beautiful.
Like, her whole idea of, like, making sure that when people do get out, they don't come back.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, that whole thing, like, right. So amazing. Because, like, you know, she came back.
Yeah.
She was out, and she came back, and... You know, the same with, like, Cindy, like, she's out there, and, like, she has nothing to help support her to right. get back on her feet. And that even, the same with Piper, like, even though I hate to admit that she had nothing when she got out, like, it's just, it's that same thing where it's, like, you have nothing when you get out of prison. Do I feel horrible about that? Not necessarily. You did some shit to get there. But I do think that's important that you become a contributing member to society again. And, like, it's hard to do if you don't have anything to support you doing that.
Yeah, totally. So just to wrap it all up, how fucking cool was the very last 3 minutes when we got to see every character you guys forgot about? Like,
I loved it.
I loved it so much.
All of the characters. I was like, so cool. Falling.
I loved it so much. Oh, my gosh.
I know that they were all together mm-hmm. that whole time. Yeah.
Yes, I loved it, too. And I liked even seeing who was the one that was, like, the racetrack star.
I don't remember her name.
I don't
remember
her name, but I love that she was still racing, and, like, I liked that. The two, like, fucking meth heads.
Mm-hmm.
I love that they're still together.
Still together.
They're still fucking on each other's nerves, but they still love each other. Like, I just, it was really good. I think that was probably my favorite part of the last episode, was seeing all of that.
God. Well, and the Mountain Dew song.
The Mountain Dew song was the best part of the whole thing.
So what is everybody obsessed with this week? You can go first.
Okay, I started reading The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo. Fucking Jackie. Between that book and the Taylor Swift album, I cannot get anything done. I woke up at 3:00 this morning, not to read the book. I had started it. And I know, Stacey, you had said that, like, it was a little slow for you in the beginning. I didn't have that because I'm so into, like, old movies and old movie stars. And I've read so many biographies and autobiographies of women of that era and old movie stars in the studio system that, like, I was hooked from the very beginning. But I was so...
That's not why. Because I love the old Hollywood right. stuff. It was because I assumed... Well, I hate to tell you what I assumed.
Well,
I knew after the first chapter what was happening.
Okay.
I was like, oh, that's why she picked this girl.
Right.
That's why she's about to tell her, like, gay story.
And right.
So I was like, that's it. I already know what's happening. That's why it was slow for me, because I thought I...
You thought you knew it was happening?
I love the old Hollywood
stuff. Oh, man. So I just, like, I woke up at 3 o'clock this morning because, I don't know, the dog was up and it was hot and I just woke up. And I was like, maybe I'll read. And that'll put me back to sleep. Wrong. No, it didn't. I never went to sleep. It's like almost 8 o'clock now. I've been up since 3. And all I want to do when we're done recording is like finish this book. And I'm like 25 pages from the end. It is so good. And like on par with every crazy biography of an old movie star that I've ever read. Like the shit that's happening in this book. Like, legit happened during those sort of golden age of Hollywood studio system. This is slightly later because it starts, like, in the 50s. But it reminds me of every, like, Joan Crawford, Katharine Hepburn autobiography I read about, or Judy Garland, where they get them hooked on drugs so they'll lose weight and they arrange abortions and marriages and relationships. And
Oh, my God. When you are done at midnight tonight, immediately text me. I don't care what time it is.
Okay.
Because I want to hear your holy shit moment at the end.
I am so excited to start reading
this. Please read this book. And I know Jackie said, like, you guys had both talked about, like, there's never been a character where you just are like, you're a fucking terrible person. But, like, I want to root for you. I get it. I get why you did these things. I get the situations that you were put in.
Exactly.
So frustrating.
But it's so good.
Yeah, it is so good.
What are you obsessed with?
Well, once again, Connecticut, the great little state of Connecticut has made some news. Last week, you recall, it was the elderly orgy that was busted in Fairfield, Connecticut.
That's a good name but for this a band. Week,
this week, this is bizarre. Now, Pepe's Pizza is like the best. And I know, Erin, you're going to argue with me because Chicago with your deep dish.
It's all right.
But Pepe's Pizza in New Haven, thin crust, the brick oven, is supposedly one of the best pizzas in all of these great United States. I love it myself. It's just unbelievably good. Well, what happened was the grandson of the original owner, Frank Pepe, a photo of him surfaced, of him holding this big giant banner that says "Deplorables for Trump 16," and I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake, why couldn't it be the owner of fucking Pizza Hut? No, it has to be the owner of an actual good pizza place. So some woman decided. What'd you say?
I said Pizza Hut's not good.
well, it is good, but it's good in its own way.
True.
So this woman, you know, this woman decides to like, you know, many social activists, decides to, you know, try to gather up a boycott. We're not going to buy your delicious pizza because you support a disgusting, immoral, vile, terrible human being who puts kids in cages and wants to, you know, fuck with gay people's rights and all that shit. So, you know, the internet goes crazy. The Connecticut internet goes absolutely crazy with people, you know, obviously Republican Trump supporters, completely losing their shit. Oh my God, this guy should be able to do whatever he wants and blah, 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 and this and that. Well, the bottom line is, I'm thinking to myself, you know what? Who gives a fuck who boycotts what? That it's just whatever somebody decides to do. My problem is that all of these Republicans who are completely going nuts trying to protect this guy's right to sell pizza are cricket silent when it comes to Trump policies on babies in cages, fucking teenagers dying in these camps, the fact that he wants the Supreme Court to rule that it will be okay to fire LGBT people in all 50 states. These Republicans who are completely losing their minds over pizza don't seem to be bothered one bit by what Trump is actually doing that's making America even more horrible, you know, than its racist, bigoted backgrounds. So I'm just, you know, spending my time, wasting my time, I should say, kind of scrolling and testing the pulse of what these Trump supporters are actually finally speaking up about. And it, you know, it just made me even more depressed than I already was over the last, you know, two
womp,
years
womp.
In office. Yeah, major.
Oh, well, I'm glad to see that you're like still out there fighting the good fight, though, Jean.
Yeah.
Useless fight, but you know what? It makes me feel good to do it.
It builds character.
Either way. So I am obsessed with. I'm finally catching up on some of the TV shows that I didn't while I was writing my last book. So I started Mindhunter season 2, and I fucking love it. It is so good. And I started season 3 of 13 Reasons Why. So for anyone that's listening that also listened to the episode where we discussed them, like Netflix removing the suicide scene, the graphic suicide portion of the first season of 13 Reasons Why. I have a real issue still with that. So I've been thinking about it a lot, and I was talking about it with Katie, my stepdaughter, basically. She listens to the podcast and she thinks we're all amazing. So yay. But she,
Hey, Katie.
Hey. She actually thinks the same thing. She, you know, she's like, I just can't believe that Netflix would do something like that, but then leave in like the graphic rape scenes. So, excuse me, sorry, beer. one of the things that I literally like that is so prevalent in this season is rape again, and it's so hard to know that they took out one of the most touching and amazing scenes that I think that may have ever been filmed on television, and not taking out these graphic rape scenes is it's just really sad. And I'm kind of struggling with it, and I'm struggling to get through season 3. And I don't know if it's because it's a little slower than the other seasons or if it's because I'm just holding on to like a grudge. So I've been like, I know this is weird, but I've been like thinking about it a lot. Like, should I continue? Should I not? But I will say that I didn't continue with season 6 of Orange is the New Black until Stace told me I should, and I did, and it was probably my favorite season. So I think maybe that's a hint. But so that's kind of what I've been obsessed with, is just the idea that when something makes people feel something, they think they should get rid of it. So I don't know. Kind of like that. Introspective.
And maybe you're returning the favor, because I watched 13 Reasons Why and watched the first season and got kind of upset about something, I don't even remember what, and didn't watch the second season. So maybe you telling me that I should, you know, that's what you're obsessed with, maybe I should go back and watch the second season, because I was totally like, can't
get forward.
Even though the first season was fine. So this week I am obsessed with this. Friday we are going wine tasting, and we rented a bus, and the lady that owns the bus is, excuse me, I don't think she's just starting out, but she is kind of new to the whole thing, and she's been amazing to work with. We're to the point now where we're texting back and forth like, hey, do you like this? Cool, let me do that. You know, like just really chill,
fun,
really down to earth person. She's being very lenient with a lot of stuff, so we're going to tip her really well.
Yeah.
But I'm curious now to see how it all goes, you know, how nice the bus is, what just little things she has in the bus. She says she has like a cooler for us to keep cheese, you know, because we're going to different wineries, little things like that. I'm curious to see if it's really as great as it seems, because she's also the cheapest that I've found. So I would love to give her a big shout out if it does turn out super amazing, even if it doesn't, whatever.
We'll have fun.
But
we'll be drunk, whatever.
Shout out. Yeah, whatever.
Everything will turn out fine.
Yeah.
Really, how could a wine tasting really go wrong?
I mean, if she pulls up in like a broken down, like kidnapper bus van, white van with no windows, I'd be like, okay, maybe.
But as long as there's cheese.
As long as there's cheese and they don't run out of wine.
So I'm really excited about that. Second shout out to Dorothy. This is for you. And how's everybody's wine? Really, really fast. Good, bad, or beer, whatever you're drinking. Good,
it's bad, excellent. Yay, nay. Come to Connecticut and visit our wineries. They're superb.
It's not great, but it's cheap and it's organic.
What mark you ask for?
It's from Chicago and it's Nikki. So there you go.
Nice. Boom. Yeah. It's like fig. A little bitter, but in the end, pretty good.
A little bitter with a smooth finish.
Yep, with a smooth finish. All right. Thank you guys for listening. Check in next week. I think it's a political episode, so I might not be here, but want.
Come on.
Tune in anyway. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.